Welcome to episode 50 of the Princeton Podcast, produced by Ken Greenberg and the podcast production team at HG Media, providing audio and video production services here in Princeton since 1999. My name is James Degnan, professional voiceover artist filling in for Ken, who is our usual announcer, introducing our usual host, Mayor Mark Frieda. But Ken was busy acting as host to Mayor Frieda, who was acting as guest in this 50th episode celebration of the Princeton Podcast. Ken and Mark reflected on the past, present, and future of the Princeton Podcast. They noted that 4 dozen remarkable Princetonians have been guests on the Princeton Podcast during the past 2.5 years since the podcast was launched. Ken also asked Mark about his assessment of achievements and challenges of his first term as mayor, in addition to his plans to run for a second term. They then discussed the cooperation between the town and the university as both continue to grow. It's fun to hear Ken turn the table on Mark and put him in the guest seat in this episode. So without any further introduction, let's join our host, our podcast producer, Ken Greenberg, and his guest, our podcast host, Mayor Mark Frieda, as they celebrate the 50th episode of the Princeton Podcast.
Mayor Mark Frieda, welcome to the Princeton Podcast.
Ken, thank you. And Ken, also known as Princeton Podcast, our producer, how unusual is it for me not to be giving the welcome to a guest?
Yeah.
So what a little change up here.
Yeah, hopefully you'll hold up as a guest yourself.
We'll see.
I'm going to grill you. I got some questions here for you.
Okay.
I just want to reflect momentarily, though, that I hope you realize that this is episode 50, so Mark and I thought we would commemorate it by having me interview him about these past 2.5 years. It's been 2.5 years since our first episode, which means you've interviewed dozens of remarkable Princetonians. Actually, you've interviewed exactly 4 dozen remarkable Princetonians. You've talked to them about their work, their goals, their backgrounds, their accomplishments. So I guess my question to you, after 50 episodes of the Princeton Podcast, are we finally running out of potential guests?
Oh, no. We got lots of people left.
Oh, yeah?
So it is amazing, right? 50 episodes. This podcast has really been popular. I get tremendous feedback on it continuously. And I think what people like is that we've had such a wide variety of guests, and we have covered topics. We have looked into different nonprofits, different organizations, different individuals, and we have provided information that people probably would have never known or guessed or had a way to find out if we had not asked all our probing questions. But but I think, you know, I think going forward, you and I have talked about, we can really just focus on nonprofits, organizations, interesting or notable people that either live or work in Princeton. And I just don't see an end to potential guests. There's such a wide variety of people out there that's still on the list that I don't think we've scratched the surface yet. So good news for the podcast.
Yeah. And I know from talking to some neighbors that the educational system in Princeton is one of the major reasons why a lot of families move here.
That's right. So it's a great area for us to invite more people. There's plenty of organizations or schools, I should say, that we have not yet talked to representatives of. So, hey, those are going to be future podcast folks. Pay attention.
I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
Well, I think it's interesting to see the change in how, when we started, we were always reaching out to folks, and to know now that people are reaching out to us to say, hey, can we be on the podcast?
Yeah.
So that's
absolutely
great.
Absolutely. Getting some traction, Mark.
There we go.
And speaking of traction, 2.5 years ago, when we started the Princeton Podcast, you were our newly elected mayor. And now you're running for a second term, I heard, through the grapevine. Some of the issues that you've addressed, accomplished, some of the challenges you've been dealing with in your first term, now that you can look back on the last couple, 3 years, what would you say about that?
Well, you know, I think one of the most interesting things was when I started as mayor, we were still in COVID. So that literally meant that when I was sworn in, I was in the mayor's office with my immediate family with a laptop in front of me. And that's how I got sworn in. So there was no crowd. It was none of the usual. And, you know, the first year was pretty much focused on what are we doing about COVID, working a lot with our health officer, with the county and the state, and the challenges of working with the county and the state at that time, and just trying to figure out how were we going to keep our residents as safe as possible and promoting good practices so people knew what to do and trying to keep people up to date. So that was a big factor. And I'm glad to see that we've moved away from all those remote meetings for the council, the mayor and council meetings, to now it's a live meeting. And if you want to show up, you can show up in person. But if you want to watch from home, you can watch on YouTube, or you could jump in on Zoom and be able to ask a question remotely. I think that's a big improvement. Another area that I like to stress that I think is a huge improvement for the town is that the governing body as a whole, how we approach setting goals for each year has changed dramatically. In the past, goals would pretty much be, what are the goals of each department? And those were very tactical. They were in no way strategic. So they're strategic goals. They're high level, and they really reflect, where are we going? What should our policies be on certain things? And then the departments, when the department heads meet on a very regular basis throughout the year, the goals are talked about every time they meet. So how is something we're about to do fit with one of the goals? And if it doesn't, is it something that we should be doing? And, you know, not everything we do is going to be tied to a specific goal that we've created. There's just things that our departments have to do every day. But having those goals is a good way for everybody to try to be moving in the same direction. And we want our government and our staff, we want the whole organization moving in the same way. And then I think the other big improvement is that once we started meeting in person, it just made how the governing body gelled with each other to just happen quicker, better, and it's a better relationship. Nothing is better than actually talking to people face-to-face, interacting with them before or after a meeting, getting to just talk about whatever it is, help building a relationship. It's hard to build relationships over Zoom. Yeah. So, we've made a lot of progress. We get a lot done. And as much as people say, geez, you guys must all think the same, or you all agree on everything, let me tell you, we definitely do not. I think that we pretty much all have the same values, but we don't always agree on how to do something or the priority or whatever. And we will have some pretty vigorous debates and discussions with each other about that. But at the end of the day, the governing body is committed to trying to do what's best for the town.
May I ask, what were perhaps some of the contentious issues or some of the most challenging issues in the past few years?
Yeah.
Aside from COVID?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think there's like a variety of things at different levels. I mean, take the Witherspoon Street project and how we redid the upper part of Witherspoon. Should it be a one-way or not? That was a contentious discussion, I guess you could say, or a vigorous discussion. How wide should the sidewalks be? How much of a pedestrian area do we want it to be? And then how do we take the way that we design the street and not carry it fully down the rest of Witherspoon, but how do you take that image and kind of relate as you went further down Witherspoon, which has a whole different feel to it. We can look at some of our affordable housing developments and talk about, well, there was a court decision that said you will build X number of units and here's where you will build them. We've been having discussions on the Franklin Avenue lot. How many units are going to be there? Is it going to be affordable only, or will that be affordable and market rate? Or actually, is that going to be affordable and more of what you would term as the missing middle housing, which there's a great need for? So there's a lot of discussion around things like that. You know, there's discussion around, let's say, on the police department. Last year, X number of officers were going to retire. In the past, what you would normally do is you wait till people retire, then you go out and start a recruiting process to hire new people. So in until you do that and get those people in and trained, you don't have enough police officers. So what we decided to do was, we know a certain number of retirements are going to happen, so let's actually hire people prior to the retirements. So but by the time they get trained and the people actually retire, now the police force isn't going to be down 5 or 6 positions, which is a real problem, scheduling-wise. And let's make sure, let's be proactive and make sure we have enough police on the streets at all times. So there's any number of things where we like, okay, is this a good idea? Is this a bad idea? And at the end of the day, we get there. But again, we're not always going to, on the first time something's brought up, there's not always general agreement.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
That was one of my, actually, that was one of my first questions to you in the first episode was, how do you keep these discussions from becoming complete chaos with Princetonians and their strong opinions and their well thought out positions on things?
Yes. Well, you know, look, I think, and Ken, that, you know, that's a good point, whether it's the elected officials, the governing body, or people that show up at meetings. The key is you actually listen to everybody. Let everybody state what they want to state, suggest whatever they want to suggest. Make sure you get their viewpoint and make sure people actually hear it. And then you can discuss it. And part of what I try to do is manage the discussion in a way that, okay, we don't need everybody to say the same thing 5 times. So I try to find a way to politely move people nicely. Okay, we've said that already. If it's already been said, can't you just say, I agree? And then we can move to the next thing. So a lot of this is just managing discussions and making sure that the important points all have a chance to be discussed. And we don't bury people in just, we're just going on and on and on and not saying anything of any great value. So try to keep us focused, try to keep us on track, and try to have meaningful discussions. And you can tell when that happens at a meeting, because people will walk away from the meeting and go, wow, that was a really good discussion. Glad we had that. Or somebody that was in the audience will say, hey, thanks a lot. I'm glad that you actually made people listen to me, allowed me to say what I wanted to say. And to me, that is like a huge accomplishment. And if people feel good about having a chance to talk to us at our meetings, that is just a huge victory.
That's what it's all about, yeah.
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
Where it starts local. I'd like to ask you about your decision to run for the second term. Can you share with us a little bit of your thought process or the reasons behind why you want to do that?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I mean, I love the town. I've been here all my whole life, born here, raised here, never left. And I enjoy being mayor, to be honest. You get involved in so many different things, and I think I make a valuable contribution, along with all the other elected officials, and along with all our staff, and along with so many citizens that get in, residents that get involved in so many different things that we might be discussing. So to be a part of an effort where so many people have the opportunity to get involved and do get involved, and to take something, help something go from an idea to actually becoming real, is a good feeling. And I think local government is where you interact with your community the most. You know, I could be walking down the street. I could be walking the dog. I could be at McCaffrey's. I could be anywhere in town. And people are like, hey, can I talk to you? Yeah, sure. And those are great conversations. And I encourage those.
And I think everybody knows that. Yeah, they can tell. Everybody that knows you knows that genuine reasoning behind wanting to be the mayor and being a good mayor.
Huh. Hopefully.
Can you talk a little bit about, as you think about the next 4 years, should you be our mayor, what kind of challenges are you going to be up against, or what kind of things do you think you're going to be addressing that are going to be new?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully I get reelected, and, you know, we'll see. That's you know, many more months of things can happen. You know, there's a primary election and a general election, and people actually have to vote for me. But hopefully they do.
Yep.
But, you know, that's their choice. It's very important that people know they have a choice. But, you know, I think if we look at some of the goals we set for this year that the governing body set, that really helps set where we're going, not just for this year, but for the next several years. Because as I said before, the goals are high level, and many of them are not going to be met in a single year. So, you know, we are looking at roadway safety. We're looking at pedestrian and bicycle safety. And those are really big goals, because this is a built-up town. So you can't just say, oh, here I have, this was all farmland, and I'm going to design a town on it tomorrow. That's not the case, right? So we have a town that was built for automobiles. And so trying to make changes to promote and increase pedestrian and bicycle safety is a challenge. it's not always it can be this or that. There's trade-offs, there's balances that have to be found. So anyway, I mean, that's part of our goals. And each of our overall goals have many subsets or specific goals under them. But, you know, that pedestrian and bicycle safety is pretty darn important. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of environmental goals. You know, we purchased a lot of open space last year. We're going to hopefully purchase more open space this year. And that's really a long-term thing. I mean, anyone that has lived in this area for a while, I mean, let's say if you've lived in this area for 40 or 50 years, and you look at how developed not just is Princeton, but how developed is the entire area around us, mm-hmm. how developed it has become. The fact that we are spending serious money on open space, because at some point, you know, there's just going to be so much development here and around us that if we don't preserve large chunks of open space now, we are going to lose out on that opportunity in the future. And from an environmental impact point of view, these are actions that we just have to take. From a climate action point of view, this is just like some incredibly important to our local community, but it's important. It just has an impact, a wide impact. So we can't say enough about our climate action plan, working with Sustainable Princeton, working with other groups in town that are promoting how we preserve open space, how we preserve all the parks, playgrounds, other areas that we have. The whole environmental area is another huge goal that has lots of things under it. We're looking at the facilities that the town owns. We recently did a facility study to look at everything we own and then help us create a long-term, big-picture plan. What are we going to do with all these different properties that we own? And instead of looking at them one at a time, each as a standalone, look at the big picture and figure out where should we be going. Land is only going to get more expensive in Princeton. So do we really want to give up a piece of property? Maybe we want to lease it, but maybe we don't want to sell it.
Right.
And what is the proper use for? Could it be used for some housing? Could it be used for this or that? What makes the most sense? So those are some things. And then we have a lot of things too, you know, health and community services wise. We're doing a lot with human services. We have the mayor's wellness campaign, which has really taken off. I mean, the library helps us a lot with that. There's other organizations in town getting on the bandwagon, which is just trying to promote both physical and mental health. And we've had some really great events around that. We have, like I said, human services department is top notch, doing a lot to help people. During COVID, the human services department set up a roundtable of all the nonprofits that are providing, helping people with food insecurity. And they helped gather everybody. So there's regular meetings, monthly meetings of all those organizations to help them coordinate with each other. You know, because those are vital things to provide to help people that have a problem with food insecurity. Maybe they can't pay their rent. Maybe they can't pay their utilities. You don't want people getting thrown out of whatever housing they may be in because of something like that. And if we can find a way to help them, we should be doing that. We need to help all our residents. We have recreation goals. Community Park South, we're looking at how do we redo Community Park South, but just looking at, we'll be looking at Grover Park. So there's a number of areas. And then affordable housing is another area that we're going to be spending a lot of time on because we have all the housing that's being built now, but there'll be another round of affordable housing that the state's going to require all the communities in the state to build. So we need to start looking at that. What are we going to do? How much density do we want? Where do we want that density? Do we want to go with the typical, the developer builds housing, so if they build 100 units, you're getting 20 affordable and typically 80 market rate units. Well, is that the model we want, or do we want a different model? And there's different things that you can do to meet your obligation. So we need to discuss that because obviously it has a huge impact on the town, the character of the town, the infrastructure of the town. So we need to be talking about things like that.
And relating to the idea of development, we have Princeton University.
Yeah. I mean, the university is growing a lot. I mean, the university has a very healthy endowment, which allows them to look at where are they today and where do they want to be in the future. And so they have the means to make changes and expand to make them a more attractive university, to bring in more partners to help them fulfill their mission. And, you know, we can see a lot of growth that's going on within the town boundaries, but also the growth that they have going on in West Windsor just across the lake. So, you know, the university is great at planning and looking to the future. I mean, they have a 50-year plan. They have a 20-year plan. They know here's where we want to go, and they can continually refine that plan. And one thing I have said repeatedly is that we should be talking to them as often as possible. Where are you, the university, going? Where are we, the town, going? And when can we work together? If we're going on the same track, how can we help each other on the same track? And if we're not going to be on the same track on some things, well, let's discuss that early enough so that we're not at odds with each other. You know, another thing I say a lot to people is we can disagree and it's okay, right? Because usually we're disagreeing. It's a business discussion. It's not personal. It's not because we don't like somebody at the university or the university doesn't like somebody at, you know, in local government. It's a business discussion. And so, you know, those business discussions should happen, and we walk away from those, and that's okay. We can still get along with each other. And I would say that the relationship that we have with the university right now is a very good relationship, a very solid relationship. We're very grateful to the university for how we can just have good, credible, open and honest give and take with them and with the people that are running the university. And I think everybody in town wants to see that. I mean, the university is a large part of the town.
Yeah.
And having lived here my whole life, I will say they're a large part of the town. They are not the town. Yeah. So they're part of the town. And as part of the town, we need to treat them as we do any other part of the town. Anyway, I think it's a good relationship. And I think that we're going to work hard to keep the relationship at the high level that it is right now.
Excellent. Excellent. Do you want to comment on the recent voluntary contribution to the town from the university?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that was a win-win. The university does an incredible amount of things that benefit the community. The fact that they're here benefits the community, just the fact that they sit here. But their voluntary contribution is really doing a lot of things. And I don't know that everybody read all the detail of the things they're doing, but it's a five-year agreement that we have with them. It's a roughly a $50 million agreement spread out over 5 years. And again, it's a voluntary contribution. There's nothing that says to the university, there's no law somewhere that says you have to do this. I mean, obviously we would put pressure on them if they decided not to, and we would, I guess, go to the court of public opinion. But we, you know, again, the relationship is so good that that's not something that we have to worry about, and they're not worried about us doing that. We just sit down and talk to each other. But they're helping us with rental housing assistance, which is huge. They're going to help us with sewer work. They're going to help pay for work on the sewer system. If they weren't paying for that, then all the taxpayers in town would be paying for that. So that's a win, and that's millions and millions of dollars. They are providing money to us to help cover what would have been taxes on properties that at one time used to be on the tax rolls. And those properties were voluntarily on the tax rolls. So the university has taken those properties off the tax roll, but they are still paying the taxes to us and to the school system because those are properties that for the most part either do or potentially produce children that will be in the school system. So the university steps up and says, look, there's an obligation here, and we're gonna help meet that. They're providing money to help us with mass transit in town. They provide monies to help pay for the paid firefighters that we now have. You know, our fire department is now a combination paid and volunteer. They're helping to pay for those people. They are providing money that's going to help pay for a new fire truck, a tower truck. In fact, the money they're providing, some of it's going to be used for the new tower truck, and some of it's going to be used for a high water rescue truck. So the university is touching a lot of the community in a number of ways. But I think some of the important ways are providing money that can be used for like the rental assistance, for things that are people that need real assistance. And it's not always easy for us as a town to say, oh, we have a way to fund that. And the university does a lot of things with nonprofits in town that are outside of this agreement. And any of us that live in town, I think almost anybody can go audit classes at the university. There's events on campus, I mean, literally every day. I mean, there's so many things that you could do if you wanted to take advantage of what happens at the university.
Absolutely. So the community involvement is tremendous.
Yeah.
The university is the biggest employer in our entire area. So there are many people that are residents in Princeton that work at Princeton University. It's just a huge influence on the economics of our town as well as the character of our town.
Yeah, and I will point out, and I always like to point this one out, is that the town was here before the university was here.
Right.
And that residents of the town back in the 1700s decided they wanted to attract the university, which wasn't called Princeton University at the time, but the College of New Jersey. And they attracted the university to come to our town.
That's right.
By donating land. They donated wood to help build buildings.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
So I remember from the first episode.
So yeah. I do like to remind people that the university came here to our town.
So listen, let me take it back to the podcast. I was looking at some stats the other day, and I realized that our podcast has been steadily growing since August of 2021. And I noticed that we have about 6,000 downloads to date, which means people have been listening to you for about 3,000 hours. Do you have anything that you would like to say to those poor people?
Yeah. Get a life. I mean, come on. No, thank you. Right?
They've been listening to the guests, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, they're listening to the guests. Yeah. It's really what it is. I mean, people, and you've seen the stats. I think we have found a need. And then we're fulfilling a need because we are providing information on so many different aspects of life in Princeton that people would not or cannot readily find any other way. I thank people for their interest. I thank people for listening in. I thank people for having made suggestions over the 2.5 years as to who might be on the podcast or what organization we should talk to. Anyway, I just think it's been a really good run so far, and it's a run that I hope continues for quite a while.
Yeah, the feedback has been good. The only critical feedback that I've gotten at all is that a few people suggest that it might be interesting if some of the episodes were specifically topic-oriented.
Right.
Because you're very good with talking to people about who they are, what they're doing, how they got to where they are here in Princeton, what's their journey been,
yeah.
What are their goals, future aspirations. But there are some issues in town that might be interesting if there are certain positions that people take that you know that we could invite.
Yeah, and I think that's a great idea. It's just going to be the balance between having, there's so many possible potential, who do you bring in to talk to? But I think there's a number of issues or specific topics that are happening in Princeton and will continue to happen that we need to devote some number of the podcast to that type of podcast. And I'm happy to do it. And I know you and I have talked about it. So again, to people listening, we are going to figure out some very specific issues in town and devote some of the podcast to that.
Well, I would like to thank you, Mark, for taking the time to do this. Thank you. Genuinely thank you for doing this. I think it is a unique thing that we're doing for the town, that you're doing for the town. And people appreciate it. So keep up the good work.
Thanks, Ken. And we appreciate Princeton Podcast, obviously, because producing it, you have a lot of work to do also. So anyway, it's been fun.
Terrific.
Thank you for joining us for the celebration of the 50th episode of the Princeton Podcast. Produced by Ken Greenberg and the podcast production team at HG Media, providing audio and video production services here in Princeton since 1999. If you enjoyed this episode of the Princeton Podcast, please share it with your friends. Visit our website at PrincetonPodcast.com and be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen to podcasts. This has been James Degnan, honored to be your guest announcer on the 50th episode of the Princeton Podcast.